her master's in public health currently. She is the adult viral hepatitis prevention coordinator for the division of HIV, STD, viral hepatitis at the Indiana State Department of Health. Mrs. Chapman has worked in the private sector providing employment services for those living with disabilities and for the Healthy Families Early Intervention Program, supporting at-risk children and their families. Her areas of interest include the behavioral correlates to the transmission of infectious diseases and the elimination of global health disparities. Mrs. Chapman resides in Indianapolis, Indiana, with her husband, Steve.
Hello. Always love the microphone, trying to get it in the right spot. Thank you so much for the introduction, and I want to thank everyone for being here on Wednesday morning. I know this is typically when people are trying to, move on to get home. So thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it. Before we get started, I have the Diabetes Handbook. This presentation is based around this handbook and the development of it. And so I wanted to actually be able to have it for you guys to look at and touch and have a look. This is a free resource, so if it's something you feel like you would like to have in your community, please let me know. My contact information is listed at the end, and I'm happy to get that for you. I'd also like to thank my contributors that are listed here. This was a group project. It was a component of our Masters of Public Health program, and it was a community summer project. So these folks and I worked hand-in-hand to develop this guide. So it's not just a one-woman show. This was actually a collaborative effort. So the learning objectives is listed here. The discussion of the efficiency and process of establishing a statewide system for the provision of health care for students, families, caring for chronic illness within the school setting, and I think we did that with this guide. We also recognized the process for the development of Indiana chapter of the JDRF hands-on guide for educators in schools, which again we're passing out, and explaining how to develop a plan for the establishment and utilization of healthcare guides for schools and community settings. Before I get started, one of the things I'd like to share is that this project, for each one of the people that worked on this guide, really had a vested interest. For me personally, my niece, Michaela, was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes when she was 10, about 4 years ago, and so a lot of the information that I was able to not only contribute to this, but to glean from it, hopefully impacted her and many other children like her around the country living with type 1 diabetes and their families. And this is just an example. We tried to put quotes within the book because, again, this is a guide for schools and for teachers. And so we wanted to put the face of the children in this. And so we felt one of the best ways to do that was to include quotes from the families and the children that we worked with. And so this is one that I think really reflects life with type 1 diabetes. And Grant provided to us that when he was 11 months old, he got diabetes, and he doesn't remember a day when it doesn't hurt. He knows that there's always a needle coming at him, either on his finger or the insulin. When they're tubing him, he has a pump. And when he feels brave, the needle's going fast, but when he's tired or scared, they really do hurt. So, again, just remembering that there is a child at the end of that needle, both for blood sugar checks as well as for insulin. So as we all know, the problem with type 1 diabetes as well as type 2 increasingly is a huge problem in the United States. We have about 3 million people living with type 1 diabetes. That's obviously both children and adults, with about 1,300 new cases of type 1 diagnosed each year. In Indiana, about 3,800 live with type 1 diabetes, and the majority of those obviously are type 1. We are seeing, again, type 2 diabetes pop up more and more with the childhood obesity epidemic growing. And this guide really reflects not only those living with type 1 diabetes, but also with type 2, and we do have some of that information included in the guide. Obviously, those that are living with type 1 diabetes face significant hurdles in managing the disease, both at home and in the school setting. And while I think for the most part, parents have a decent grasp on things at home, and in some cases a very good grasp, when we get into the school setting, I think the teachers, educators, aides, and even the fellow students have a hard time kind of understanding some of the unique needs of those living with type 1 diabetes. So, in turn, those students face discrimination either due to lack of knowledge or, just misunderstanding about the disease and those kind of things, not only from their peers, but sometimes also from the teachers and educators who are working with them. And of course, since we have this nursing shortage in a lot of school health systems, we need to have some increased awareness for the educators so that they can do that. They can do their job well. So, the Indiana Diabetes School Care Act was signed into law by Governor Mitch Daniels in 2007, and really what it does is it provides for the needs of students within the school setting. And the act indicates that school personnel are to be trained in diabetes care and management, and so we felt like this was a good tool to be able to do that with. It allows students to self-manage their disease in the classroom, which we know obviously it positively impacts their health, and it also positively impacts their self-esteem because they're able to manage their own chronic illness. It establishes the student's health team as both the doctor, parents, school nurse, and anyone else involved in that child's care in the school setting as well as outside. So what this guide is basically a response to that school the School Care Act. And so we got together as the department, the IU School of Medicine Department of Public Health, with the Indiana chapter of the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation to create this book. And at first we kind of looked at, was this guide going to be developed for? Was it going to be specifically for school nurses, or was it going to be something more broadband? And we really decided that in order to, you know, positively affect as many students as possible, it was most effective for us to provide it and design it not only for the school nurses, but also for teachers and school administrators, aides, parents who may be working in the classroom, et cetera. So the development of the guide went something like this. We did a literature review, obviously, to kind of find out what was out there, if there were any other similar resource guides that maybe we could pull from or that we could collaborate with and maybe update. And what we found was there were several efficacious, accessible, and free reproducible resources, and a lot of those came from the Department of Health and Human Services at the federal level. We also developed a survey for families of children living with type 1 diabetes as well as type 2 diabetes. We had a few families that were that had type 2 in their family as well. And we sent this survey to families, and it was more of an anecdotal thing. We kind of wanted to find out what, from the parents' perspective, what was it that was a barrier for them in communication with the school system, and what was the barrier for the care of their child within the school system. And some of the things that we found from that survey are highlighted here. One of them was the big thing about caring for highs and lows. A lot of these children have regardless of whether they've been diagnosed recently or at a younger age and they're now in the school system, they can usually self-manage fairly well. They know when their body's starting to feel one way or the other, and so they can usually either take a snack or get up and walk around the room, et cetera. And so we really felt like that was something that the parents repeated over and over again in all of these surveys, was that children really can manage their own highs and lows. Another one was lack of communication regarding food rewards, meals, activities, prescriptions. For example, one of the things that we heard time and time again was that the teacher wanted to have, they wanted to do like a math project, for example, and so they would use M&Ms or Skittles or something like that as a counting method or as an educational tool, which was fine, but they weren't really communicating that to the parents. So the parents couldn't say, oh, well, today is going to be M&M day, so we need to change your dietary or your medication for the day to accommodate that. And so that was one of the things that we tried to put into the guide and remind schools of. Another one, obviously, was school, with children feeling different in school. And as we all know from either having children or been children, we all kind of experience that from time to time. But this was reflected again in our information. And the other one was the need for overall education about type 1 diabetes. There was a lot of misunderstandings about what it was and what it wasn't. Confusion with type 2 diabetes and some of the specific needs within the two different types of diabetes. So the team also compiled a list of resources that we felt were going to be useful for teachers and educators. We had hospitals, national and local support organizations, diabetes camps. We also had action lists and some other tools that we felt would be helpful for teachers and for parents as they're going through and trying to care for their child in the school system. Other things that we did, again, were summarizing some key informant interviews and, again, looking at the school surveys. We also enlisted volunteer services of a graphic designer to kind of put the guide together for us. So the response has been to this. One of our, actually, to back up just one second, one of my colleagues took this project and went a step further. We created the guide within our time together, and then he took the guide a step further and provided and really kind of tried to see what was happening with the guide after the publication. So according to the Indiana Department of Education, each school district is responsible for the application of the Diabetes School Care Act, and so our guide was then introduced to them, and they were able to make their own decisions whether they used it or not and those kind of things. And then the guide was delivered to schools and nurses via JDRF, their network, which included obviously all the schools in Indiana, and allowed access for availability and adaptability for a variety of settings. I apologize, went in the wrong direction. Okay, so this is how the guide looks. It's divided into sections. The first is the basics of diabetes. The other one was day-to-day care and living with type 1 diabetes. We also had a parents and a teachers and parents partnership page, and again, the ready reference guide. We also had a glossary of key terms, and again, resource materials and action lists. So we really wanted this to be like a toolkit, but we didn't want to make it too huge. So as you can see, it's fairly lightweight, it's fairly small, and it's available both electronically and in a paper form. The guide focuses on, so the main focus for us was to be able to, again, to provide a clear and concise reference to ensure the guide was simple and easy to use, and it focused on the child, obviously. So again, initial feedback from families and caregivers as well as school personnel after the administration of this guide was that it was successful, and that families felt like at least now teachers had something to go to, and it opened up the conversation. So that was the most important thing to us, was that, yes, this guide exists, and yes, it was helpful for families and teachers. The guide was designed, again, to be flexible. We wanted, obviously, it to be focused on the schools, but we also wanted it to be something that could be used in other settings. So we really feel, after some investigation of our own guide, that it can be used in community centers, faith-based organizations, extracurricular activities like the arts and athletics, clubs and organizations, and preschool and daycare settings. So it's not just limited to the school setting. Some of the information is focused on that, but it's really applicable, we feel, to a variety of different settings where children are going to be. And again, that means that the guide is not specific to Indiana. So if you'd like the guide, I do have it electronically, and I'm happy to provide that to you. I also have it in paper copy at home. So if you would like it, just please find me afterwards, and I'm happy to get that for you. It is a free resource, and it's available, and we want it to be used. There we go. As I say, some of those things I've already covered. And then in summarization, Diabetes, a hands-on guide for educators in schools was developed in response, again, to the Diabetes Care Act. The guide supports educators, schools, and other family-serving organizations, and really hopes, our anticipation with this is that it's going to be helpful for schools and families. And so far, we've found that to be true. So thank you so much, and I look forward to your questions. And I'm just going to flash the contact information up here for you. Please let me know if you'd like the guide, and I'm happy to get that for you. Thank you.
Okay, so again, the guide that Erica's speaking about is passing around the room. If you hadn't had a chance to see it, if you just wave, I could bring it back to you. It's down the back table. We'll make sure you get it. Okay. So our next speaker is Dr. Diane Zuli, a pediatrician working for the Contra Costa Healthcare Services in Northern California. Diane is a general pediatrician who provides care for low-income children and is actively working with local partners to prevent and address the pediatric obesity epidemic in her county and across the country.